doing this morning? Good. Well, it's the holiday season. I hope everyone here had a wonderful Thanksgiving, a great time with family, friends, and those that you love and care about. As we get into the holiday season, I just felt this morning it would be appropriate to talk about the holiday season and what we can do as we focus our hearts on the Lord and remember what this season's really all about. As we come off Thanksgiving, I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving is one of my favorite seasons in all of the year. I think Thanksgiving is a time where we can focus on things that are simply the things that we can count on. We can focus on family, we can focus on a good meal, and we certainly can focus on a Lions loss. But then again, we can count on that every Sunday. Too soon? Well, hey, we at least had a good win yesterday, so we can celebrate that, right? The Thanksgiving holiday to me is simple. It kind of doesn't have all the things that come along with Christmas in our modern culture. It kind of is one of those times where we just slow things down a little bit, at least in my family. We slow things down a little bit. We cook a lot, we eat a lot, and we share a lot of happiness together. And that's very important no matter what type of season we may be experiencing through the holiday season, if you know what I mean. Even though holidays are here, life doesn't stop for the holidays. Life doesn't pause for what we want to enjoy. But in the midst of our difficulties and challenges, we can experience the peace and joy of the Lord. And I believe that the Thanksgiving holiday is kind of something that points to that, that reflects on that, that reflects on the goodness of a good God, even in the midst of a difficult life. But one thing I know about Thanksgiving is you have to prepare for it. Those of you who made the turkey know, you can't just wake up on Thanksgiving and throw the meal together. For those of you who didn't put the turkey together, why don't you try Google something calling brining? It takes place before cooking, and just so you know, you can't grocery shop the morning of Thanksgiving and hope to put a turkey together. So I know that you have to prepare for Thanksgiving. In fact, last year I actually made a turkey on Thanksgiving, a little bit easier than probably what y'all do. I just threw it on the smoker and hoped it turned out good, and luckily it turned out pretty good. But you can't just throw a meal together. You can't just plan or not plan and go into a moment like a holiday and expect everything to go the way that it needs to. I don't know about you, but I've had some unexpected guests come over my house at different points in time. Some of them may have been solicitors, some of them may have been family members, but you know what happens when someone comes over and you weren't expecting them to come over. Nevertheless, it's definitely you're in a compromised position, whether you're taking a nap on the couch or you're doing something or your dogs aren't ready or something's going on and someone walks in the door or knocks on the door and everything goes haywire. You usually don't have your hair done and you definitely don't have the floor swept. And if you live in a house like mine, there's dog hair everywhere, which is not very fun. But when someone is coming over and you're prepared for them, it's a little bit more enjoyable, right? You can clean up all the dog hair. You can get everything ready. You can get something prepared. You might even want to prepare some snacks or a meal. So being prepared for someone to show up is pretty important. And I also believe that during the holidays, we should be prepared for God to show up so that we can truly remember what this season ought to be about. But in order to get the fullness out of the holidays, just like Thanksgiving and just like Christmas, I believe we need to prep. And so today the title of my message is Holiday Prep. In my Bible study and my personal devotions leading into Thanksgiving, I was led to reflect on Psalm 100. I'll read the full psalm for you since it's only 5 verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is, he is God. And then he has made, that he has not been made, but we are made of him. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures all generations. You can probably see in this scripture why it came up during Thanksgiving. In fact, it just says Thanksgiving, so it's one of the commonly quoted verses during the Thanksgiving season. But I believe that this scripture teaches us that Thanksgiving is really a preparation. Thanksgiving is a preparation. And I believe that there's something special about Thanksgiving coming before Christmas, because Thanksgiving can prepare our hearts. It says to enter his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Thanksgiving itself is an action of preparation. It's preparing our hearts to be focused on something other than ourselves. It really puts us in position to see God for who he is and how good he is. Because we're able to then use thanksgiving as an act that gets our hearts focused and prepared for the presence of God. Thanksgiving is a gift to God. And Proverbs says a gift makes a way to be ushered into the presence of the great. And if he is our king and if he is the Lord of all, we ought to come with him with a gift, an act of thanksgiving, but we have to prepare that gift. Can't do what I always do on Christmas and wrap 5 minutes before we're about to open gifts. We have to be ready. We have to prepare. Maybe this weekend you went Black Friday shopping and you fought with the crowds, or you fought with the limited stock, or you were online trying to grab the best deal possible. But at least it's not New Year or Christmas Eve when I like to go shopping. I love going shopping on Christmas Eve. The reason I like it so much is because there's no pressure. You just got to grab whatever's available. Less to think about. But we ought to prepare. Put the time and the thought and the energy into making our hearts ready for the presence of God and for our King to come. I believe that as we come off of Thanksgiving and we prepare for Christmas, we ought to use Thanksgiving as a tool that will help us prepare for God's presence to fill this season. Maybe I'm just hungry from all of the eating this week, but it reminded me of Scripture in Matthew 26. So let's turn there to Matthew 26, and we're going to pick up in verse 17. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "What do you want us to do to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go to the city to a certain man and tell him, 'This teacher says, my appointed time is near, and I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. The disciples recognized that there was this festival and there was this event coming called Passover. And Passover was very important to the Jewish people. Very important. As it celebrated that we have been saved and passed over during a time of death. And in this festival of the unleavened bread, and as they celebrated this time, it was not just an obligation to go through the process of celebrating Passover. It was a time where they could have reverence and obedience to the God that saved them. The disciples recognized the importance of this Passover season, And so they wanted to prepare. As they prepared, they asked Jesus what they ought to do to prepare. And as they made those preparations, how many know they had to do some specific things? They had to go to a specific place. They had to talk to a specific person. And they had to set up the specific arrangements. I believe that this speaks to us that if we are to prepare to celebrate our God during this holiday season, that we should do specifically what God would lead us to do or direct us to do, which means that we ought to obey God in order to prepare. Now, Thanksgiving prepares us as a preparation because it gets our hearts ready. But how many know there has to be an act of obedience to God in order to be in alignment with Him? And as the scripture is pointing to, the disciples were directed. The disciples did what Jesus asked, and it prepared a certain means for Jesus to celebrate the Passover. What's important to remember is that the Passover really was a gift. It was a gift to God's people. It was a gift so that they would never forget what their God has done for them. That they would remember the greatness and the power of our Almighty God. It wasn't about tradition. It was about reverence, obedience, and it truly was a gift of remembrance. Shouldn't Christmas be like that for us? A gift. Not a season full of more stress because we have to get specific decorations or specific gifts for our loved ones. Shouldn't it be a time where it is a gift, where we can reflect on a Messiah that came to earth to save us from our sins? Shouldn't it be a time of remembrance about how a God loved us so great that He would give His only Son and He would send them into a human and ordinary life to walk the path that we walk and so that we can be saved through His death? There's a lot of parallels between Jesus and the Passover. And I believe that this season can be prepared properly if we do what Jesus asks us to do. The disciples pulled together their Passover celebration. But how many know that this Passover celebration wasn't an ordinary Passover celebration? This is where Jesus would be betrayed. This is where what had to be done would be done. This is what led us to the point where Jesus would be crucified. I think there's a reason why Jesus wanted to go to a certain place, talk to a certain man, and make arrangements at his house. I believe that Jesus needed these steps and this order to happen so that he could be in the position to fulfill the promise that he would die on our behalf. And as he made those arrangements and prepared us that way, Jesus then shows us that if we prepare, we can see God's plan unfold in our lives through our actions. My purpose this morning isn't to focus solely on that scripture. I'd like to point to an example in the Old Testament this morning in Ezra chapter 7. And I'd like to speak a little bit about being prepared in our hearts. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 8, it says, Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of God who was upon him. For Ezra had prepared in his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. I want to pause right there. So Ezra is coming. And he's preparing his heart in the laws of the Lord so that he can act on it and that he can teach on it. We see Ezra coming from Babylon to Jerusalem with the hand of God leading him. But notice this important thing. It says, for Ezra prepared in his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He prepared in his heart. He didn't just show up on a whim, hoping that everything would work out. He didn't show up to deliver the word of God without first preparing the law of the Lord in his heart. He didn't show up to speak the word of God without first seeking the Lord himself and preparing in his heart what he ought to do. The word prepare here is the Hebrew word which is translated as fixed, established, or to apply. It conveys the ideas that it is a deliberate act over a prolonged period of time. The same Hebrew word that's used here as the word prepare is also translated in our Bibles as fixed 4 times in the Old Testament, spoken by David. It uses the same word twice in Psalm 57, verse 7, which is a psalm that David wrote while he was hiding in a cave while Saul was trying to kill him. David's men were trying to get David to fight back and kill Saul and seize the throne that was rightfully his. But David didn't want to do that. Why would David not fight back? Wasn't Saul trying to kill David? Wasn't Saul occupying the throne that was rightfully his? Wouldn't that be considered self-defense? David saw Saul as God's chosen. David, it says, fixed his heart or prepared his heart that he wouldn't take the kingdom by killing Saul, but he would only walk in obedience to God. In this passage in Psalm 57:7, it says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. If you're reading in the NIV, it probably says the word steadfast there, which also speaks to a deliberate act over a long period of time. Your heart is fixed. Shouldn't our hearts be fixed, steadfast? If you look at our definition of the word fixed in the American Heritage Dictionary, it says firmly in a position, stationary, not subject to change or variation, constant, firmly held in mind, a fixed notion. Shouldn't we have a heart that is fixed on God? That is fixed on him? That is steadfast in his ways? That is steadfast in his word? When I think about this definition about being stationary or not subject to change or variation, isn't that the type of heart that we need in our darkest moments? A heart that is fixed, steadfast, that isn't moved by what is going on around us, no matter how difficult it may be. But in order to have that type of heart, we have to prepare that type of heart. We can't just expect to be that way. We have to prepare. If we want to be fixed and steadfast over a long period of time, how many know we have to be fixed and steadfast when life is good? Sometimes it's just as hard to stay focused and true to what you believe when it's easy. In fact, I find that sometimes more difficult. Because when it's easy and you don't have someone pushing you to look for something beyond yourself, how many know it's easy to stay within yourself? But a heart that is fixed and steadfast, that is unmoved, even if it's good or bad, no matter what is going on around us. Not that those things that sound simple are very easy to do. Weathering storms is never easy. Staying focused when you got a lot of options and distractions is not always easy. But we can prepare to be that way. We ought to know what we believe and why we believe it to a point where our minds and our hearts are fixed on God. This type of preparation comes through knowing God and knowing His Word. Relationship with God. Study of His Word. And obedience to that Word. Notice these key things that Ezra did in that passage in verse 10 of Ezra 7. It said that he prepared his heart to first seek the law of the Lord, to do the law of the Lord, and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. I want to break these three things down as a focus for our preparation as we go into the holiday season. Number one, to seek. Seeking God takes preparation. Now, as I mentioned before, thanksgiving is an act that prepares us to do that. But it also takes preparation. When you're looking for something, you might need a flashlight. If you don't know how long it's going to take for you to find it, you might want some food. If what you're searching for is going to take you long distances, you might want a vehicle. Seeking takes effort and it takes preparation. You have to think about what may be ahead, so that you can be prepared for what you might experience. But I got good news for you. His word is a lamp to our feet. His word is also referred to as the bread of life. His word is a tool that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we have this person in the Holy Spirit who is our helper. And he can prepare us to seek the law of the Lord. One way that we can seek the law of the Lord is simply to read His Word. Reading His Word will prepare us for what we may face and experience in our lives. But we must also have relationship with God, to where we can talk to Him about His Word, where we can speak to Him about His Word and allow His Holy Spirit to reveal that truth to us and how we can apply it to our daily lives. I believe that in our study, we should seek the things that we need. We should seek the scripture that guides us in what we're going through. But we must also be open to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance when we don't know what that may be. Not only do we seek the law of the Lord, Ezra prepared his heart to do the law of the Lord. Now, it's pretty obvious that doing takes preparation. We don't just wake up one morning and say, hey, I know how to build something. We don't wake up one day and say, oh, I know how to solve every math problem in the book. It obviously takes preparation for us to put our action into productive means. And so we must prepare to do. Seeking is part of preparing of doing, but how many know we must practice or train to do what we ought to do? We must put into practice actions that will prepare us for greater challenges. After all, faith without works is dead. And if we exercise our faith, we can see our faith grow and increase. I believe what this means is that we actually take what we read and what we study and what we seek from our relationship with God, and we act on that. We act on that in ways that we know are possible and we can accomplish. We should pray for the simple things. We should act in faith on the simple things and be faithful with those simple things so that we can be grown to believe for the bigger things. I believe that we should have great faith, and it should go far beyond what we can see, think, or know. But it starts with us being able to apply God's word to the simple things that we need in life. It starts with us exercising our faith and allowing it to grow over time. Notice that the definition of that word fixed was over a prolonged period of time. As we do good, God will bless us and help us to do even more good. I believe that doing as an action will help us. Believe for your family. Believe for salvation of the people that are closest to you. Believe for the goodness of God in the things that you need for everyday life, so that we can believe that he will lead and transform this world through his kingdom. Lastly, it says not only to seek, not only to do, but to teach. Teaching is a very important act, which obviously, again, takes preparation. We must first know the truth and seek the truth. We must also experience it in action, but we also have to prepare how we may articulate it or communicate it if we are to teach. Let me break down a couple of those things. First of all, I can tell you that from experience, the best professors that I ever had in college were the ones that actually worked in the fields that they were teaching. Not that the other ones weren't good or didn't know the material, but there is a way to communicate something that's special when you've actually used it in practice. And if we're going to teach the Word of God, shouldn't we have used it in practice? Shouldn't we be leading our faith by example? Shouldn't the fruit of our faith and our deeds and our actions be what leads people to Christ? Shouldn't our love for one another be the thing that identifies us as people who know Jesus? But we ought to think and meditate on his word in a way that we can be strategic about how we communicate to others. We can't just fly off the handle when someone's doing something wrong. I don't know about you, but it doesn't even work for my 2-year-old. You have to think about what he understands. Think about what he knows. Put it into terms that he can comprehend. And then speak to him in that way. And the same goes for everybody. Not everybody has gone through the same path that we have. Not everybody has done the same things that we have. And we can't always just talk in what makes sense to us. We have to think about how we're communicating and why we're communicating it so that we can articulate the truth effectively. Ultimately, God's truth is universal. God's truth is powerful no matter what. But I do believe that we are his vessels and we ought to prepare how we may communicate. You know what's interesting about Ezra? That name itself means help. And if we want to be a help to this world, we must seek the law of the Lord. We must do what we seek, what it says, what the law of the Lord says. And we must be willing to teach his statutes and his ordinances. We must be willing to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus. As we seek it for ourselves, as we do it in our actions, we ought to teach it even to others. In closing, I just want to reference 2 scriptures. First, maybe it's just because of the theme of eating and Thanksgiving, I want to look at Revelation 3. Verse 20 says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." I believe that God wants to eat with us, dine with us during this holiday season. But shouldn't we prepare him a table? Shouldn't we prepare a place for him? Shouldn't we sweep up a little bit of the dog hair around the couches? Shouldn't we clean up and be prepared for when he knocks? Because honestly, he's here knocking now. And we ought to be prepared. You see, the table is a special place. Because a table is where you let your guard down and you let relationship really happen. When you're eating, there is something intimate about connecting with the people that you eat with. And I believe that God wants to be intimate with us. And a relationship that is intimate, where we can share the things that might be a little off the cuff, might be a little bit rough around the edges. And that God is willing to converse and have relationship with us. And ultimately, if we seek him, we will find him. But notice the context about Revelation chapter 20, or chapter 3. Verse 20 says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock." But verse 16 says, "Don't be hot or cold or lukewarm, or I'll spit you out of my mouth." In verse 19, the one right before this scripture, it says, "I rebuke the ones I love and I discipline them. So be earnest and repent." So yes, Jesus is standing at the door knocking and willing to eat with us, but how many know we have to prepare? And repentance is a preparation. Being earnest is a preparation. Being open to rebuke is a preparation. Being disciplined is a preparation. We must be sincere by preparing with repentance. We must be open to God's rebuke and his discipline, which prunes us or prepares us. You see, I believe there's a reason that why in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, there's a piece of the armor of God that's called the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, or the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isn't it something that in our daily walk that we ought to be prepared with some shoes? We ought to be prepared in our hearts before God. Now there's countless preparations that I can talk about or make. But I believe that we need to seek the law of the Lord and let him show us what we ought to prepare for this holiday season. I believe we should do what he says and stay focused on doing what he leads us in. But ultimately, this is an opportunity for us to shine our lights. Not just the ones on the outside of our houses, but lights that will illuminate this world and this dark world. So let's prepare our hearts. Let's seek the face of God every day. That our eyes would be fixed and our hearts would be fixed on him and his presence. We can start with thanksgiving and praise, which will prepare us to seek him and seek his face. Let us do the work that goes along with that. Let us build our faith with his word and with our actions aligning with that word. Let's build some equity with our faith with God and with a relationship with God by putting in the time, putting in the effort, and taking the small steps of faith so that we can be prepared for life's hardest times. Let's teach and meditate on God's word so much that we can communicate it well. That wouldn't be our own beliefs, our own ideas, our own slants, our own arguments, our own things that we want to communicate, but we would actually teach the word of God because our hearts are fixed on him, they are steadfast in his presence, and they are prepared, dwelling on how we can prepare the kingdom of God in this world. Let's pray. Let's take a moment, a quiet moment. Psalm says, "Search my heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." Let's take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. To speak to us, to lead us in his ways. And let's take a moment and ask God, what should we prepare during this season? What would we have need of during this season that we can prepare our hearts to be ready for the presence of God? I believe that this season is a time where Christ can be revealed to us in our lives. And the fullness of his glory can be shown through it. Not because it's just Christmas time, but because it could be a time that could be a gift from God, where our hearts are open and our hearts are ready to receive his presence. God, I pray right now that you would prepare our hearts. I believe that you're knocking on the door. And I pray that we would be prepared, that we would prepare a place for you during this season. That we would be willing to repent and clean up the mess that's around us. The things that we've let get in and distract us or clutter up our areas, that we would clear them out. And no matter what we're going through in this season, that we could experience your fullness and your presence that can lead us, that can change our actions and our desires, and that we can remain focused on you. God, I pray that we would use this season as an opportunity to exercise our faith, to believe that you are able to do what you have promised to do, and that you are faithful to meet us wherever we're at. And God, I pray that you would help us to show our light in this dark world, that you would illuminate through us, that your light would shine, and we'd be as a city on a hill, that others may come to know you in this season, not because it's Christmas time and they were open just because of this, but because we were prepared to communicate, to invite, to articulate the goodness of who you are and share your love with them. God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name.